how to understand where we are, accept where we are in the world that we live in, that is subject to chaos, that is subject to sometimes a great goodness, and then great defeat in that goodness as it turns rancid. This is very confusing to the average person who is just living by their guts, as I put it. When a person is just living by their guts, they're just living to survive. And in this survival, many things happen. Many, many things. Listen to what Lao Tzu says about that. What is and what is not create each other. It's the yin-yang. Difficult and easy complement each other. This is the intelligent way. Tall and short shape each other. High and low rest on each other. Voice and tone blend with each other. First and last follow each other. Now there is a certain part of us that knows the truth of all of this. But the part of us that is overwhelming is the part of us that lives purely as an animal. We are animals, born to survive, to kill. We have no sense of character, no sense of proportion in our life at all. We are extremely complex people. Our minds are complex. It would be very difficult for us to judge another person in the sense of looking at them and saying, this is who they are, this is what they are, because people change so rapidly. In this complexity of our life, we do live, and we do not understand the world we live in and why we are here. Nor do we care to. If you look at the world, you will see that you and I gather a great deal of our energies from the world. We like politically what is happening. We don't like politically what is happening. We like what is occurring in the form of good and bad, right and wrong in the world, and then we don't. Things change rapidly. What was acceptable in one decade is not acceptable in another decade. We live in the ebb and the flow of a great deal of noise. We live in extremes. In a multitude of these extremes is the nuance of our life. We can only see what is happening from our point of view, our very limited point of view that has no jurisdiction in goodness, in virtue, in consciousness. We are not interested in that at all. And by the time we realize that we have no sense of consciousness, no real, honest character, it seems too late. And for some people, it is too late. They just can't go within. They just can't become that sentient being. Why? Because they have given their life over to the temperament, the tone, the texture of their insecurities. Their ego. We all wonder from time to time, if not all the time, if we're up to the task of living here in this world. It's a very challenging place, a very difficult place to live. Everything is in a flux, and we live in impermanence. And this makes us feel very insecure. What was once the quote-unquote gold standard of our life now has become rancid. It has become outmoded. It has become useless, not relevant. We are responsible for everything, for our actions and everything we do in this world. And when we were younger, there was an anticipation for something that would bring us into endless good, as we would like to think of it, a sense of security. But as we grow older, we begin to understand there is no real security in anything we do in our living in this world. It just isn't going to happen because of the flux of things, how the chemicals are changing in not only people, but in society, generally speaking. We have given ourselves over to the tone and the words of the world. The Kali Yuga is where we are. This is a very, very difficult period in human history and will remain so. Probably it could lead to the means to our end. But whether or not that happens or not is not the point of life. The point of life is not to negotiate through reason and logic what we will do or what we will not do. It isn't about our survival. As long as I live my life from the point of view of the tone and tenor, the words of trying to survive and thinking that's all there is, I will do nothing but try to negotiate my survival through my ego, my pride, my vanity. People will say to me, well, isn't that the way life is? You're here to survive and find a way to survive. No, no. See, this is where we go into the temptation that never delivers us from evil, as it were. Let me give you a little story. The reason for no change, why we don't change. It's about an old church. The church was very ancient, and the building was falling apart. A small wind could come by and shake the building, and people stopped coming to that church. They were afraid. So they formulated a committee on the board of directors. Even they didn't meet inside the church. It seemed too dangerous. So they decided they had to do something. People have stopped coming, said the priest. They won't go in, and it can fall at any moment. It's a miracle that it hasn't fallen up to now. What should we do? The Orthodox mind of people comes into play. This is what we're like when we have great difficulty. The old people said, well, this is an ancient church and should not be demolished. And there were other people, new people, that said, we have to demolish it, otherwise it will kill somebody someday. We have to make a new church. And there was the great difficulty, what to do between these two people, these two kinds of people. One wanting to keep the traditions and afraid to make any change, and the other seeking change, but demolishing tradition. So they decided on a compromise. They passed a resolution, and here's what it was. We decide on compromise. They passed this resolution. First, we decide that the new church has to be built. Second, we decide that the old church has to be demolished. Third, we decide that the new church should be made exactly like the old, and exactly in the same spot, with all the same materials from the old church should be used in the new church to keep its traditions, its vibe. Nothing new will be used, so it remains ancient. And the fourth was, till the news comes that we are ready to go on from the old and build the new, we will allow things to remain the same. We allow things to remain the same in us. We will use the old until we get to something new. We want something to happen, but we don't want to let go of the old part of us. We want to cling to certain things that you and I like to believe will bring us into safety. Now listen to me and try to understand. It is our stupidity and ignorance, our willful ignorance, that makes us believe that we should survive. There comes a time when you and I have to understand the complexity of ourselves. No person is simply good nor bad. Both of these tremendous extremes, they live inside me and you, in a multitude of crazy little nuances. The way we live our life, rationalizing our evil. Any personality, any mystery, any difficulty is beyond our understanding, our explanation. We can only observe the actions of ourselves through the precepts and concepts that we hold within us. This shakes us to our core. We have no sense of the infinite. We have no sense of love. We only have a sense of survival. I want you to be honest with yourself. You didn't do what you do and did through love. It was through the means of survival. And you tried to make it right. Therefore, the evil was okay. It was a necessary evil, as people will say. This is the yin-yang of our life. The series of events and circumstances that we face as individuals. Well, these are things that are a part of our consequence of the lack of consciousness, the lack of wanting to be and become a sentient being. We want to be known of as a successful person. We want to try to overcome our own inner expectations through money, power, prestige, pride. But soon we find that these things, well, they deteriorate quickly in the face of the impermanence of life. What was once considered wealth is no longer wealth. You must have more. Remember when you were a kid? A nickel was $1 million. And then a quarter became $1 million. And then a dollar became unfathomable. Can't even imagine having a dollar and what you could do with it. And then by the time you got it, things cost more than the dollar could afford. This is the way things are in this world. You have to understand, in this world of impermanence, nothing stays the same. Everything stays the way it is. There's no point in judging all this, rationalizing it. You and I must understand where we are, the world we're in, why we're in this world. Well, to suffer until we no longer choose to suffer. When we are willing to change the way we look at ourselves, not as a human being, but as a sentient being, to become capable of feeling beyond our emotions, to be able to live in a sense of consciousness, to be conscious beyond our ideals, our perceptions. We judge according to the appearance of things. We don't see the nature of things. When you and I are aware of the nature of all things that we have in this world, when we are a sentient being who is not interested in anything other than the nature of things, how things operate, how they live in this world, when we are in that modality within us, that is when we are no longer susceptible to the tone of this world. There is a voice within us that speaks through everything we do, and it comes from the tone of our inner being. Most people don't want to hear this tone. They don't want to acknowledge it. They can't understand it. They can't control it. This tone, generally speaking, works from emotionality, the fear that we feel deep in our DNA of survival. Self-preservation is that tone. And as that tone begins to get louder and louder in us, our words begin to change. The voice within us becomes more desperate, and we give ourselves over to the ugly. We become even more immature than we are right now. We develop attitudes about what we deserve and what we don't deserve, what is good and what is not good. We don't mature. We just live in the heathen attitude of more is better of anything that helps me rid myself of realizing the impermanence of this world, the impermanence of my life, and what I am most afraid of. We have severe problems in our world that are never going to be cured by the population. There is no logic and reasoning that will change any of this. It is logic and reasoning that got us into this. When the meditations that I offer are given to you, they offer a change in the voice that lives within you, a change in the voice you listen to within you, and it is done not through the breath patterns and all the things that I offer to just get your attention, but it is through the tones that are in the meditations that I give you. They are inexplicable. They are the art of you. They are the synchronicity of your heart. This is why some people just never get it. It is too hard for them to understand, to go beyond the voice to the tone of the meditation. It is the tone. This is how you become a sentient being. You begin to live beyond what you can feel emotionally and live psychologically. I want to meditate with you. There is a tone that you are listening to right now. Your mind has said to you, this tone is inefficient. You've heard it before. And as long as you listen to that voice that says, you will become indifferent to the tones. And to me, that is the most dangerous thing that occurs, being indifferent to the tones. Together, you and I. Let's resonate to these tones. The silence, the bells.